SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com, and absolutely glorious here in upstate New York. And it is a unusual first Monday of Saratoga. Very relaxed. No. You know, last minute and morning after the Monday morning, trying to handicap the Monday card because the only person that could do that was Andy. The rest of us that handicap Saratoga, we'd be scrambling on Monday morning because it's always hard to get the card handled appropriately. Anyway, you could maybe speed cap, but it is really a great start to the meet from, I think, every angle. And there's a ton to cover, clearly. And you certainly should note that Wednesday's kickoff at Del Mar is ready to go. The Oceanside traditional meet starter. And it's Haskell week as well. We'll get down to Oceanport, looks like, for Thursday and Friday. So it's really kind of that big transition, big summer week, summer season mentality this week with Del Mar opening. But I got a feeling that, everybody understanding the ramifications of Dark Monday joining Dark Tuesday. And it's actually a perfect scenario here because it's Tina's birthday. So we have the, and I think she's going to turn it into a bit of a 2-day affair, to say at the very least it'll be a 2-day affair. She actually had to go to school this morning. There was a meeting because they got a new principal. Anyway, the racing Friday, Saturday, Sunday here and everywhere else, because of course we spent a good part of the weekend preview excited for Delaware and the Del Cap and the undercard, the Match Series races. She's absolutely hitting stride here now. And how about Mr. Money, who seems to be going from strength to strength? I got to be impressed with Brett Calhoun and what went on at the Indiana Derby. Felt terrible for Steve Margolis and the brilliant team as Eskin Ford stumbled, dropped Julian Leperoux, and Leperoux actually missed mounts on Sunday at Saratoga because of it. But Mr. Money, going to be some interesting decisions for Brett Calhoun. Very interesting what he did, backing him up and now strength, kind of stretching him back out. Larry Jones with another Oaks street band. Larry Jones, speaking of band, Larry Jones put the street band back together, meaning Brary Jones, this is an Istan filly, Sophie Doyle, shades of what Larry Jones did to help Rosie Napravnik and her career. Street band. There wasn't any beating her. So I think some people lined up to try to do that. Nacho Correas with a pair of wins out there, and Brad Cox. We'll talk to Brad. Brad had 4 stake wins over the weekend at 3 different venues, right? At least, yes. Yesterday, obviously, break even. Just as good on turf. I say just as good. I think she's probably a better dirt filly, but for Richard Klein and the family. Nice win at Saratoga. Sean Bridgemahan came in, and now they've got some decisions to make. We'll see what Brad is thinking. But he also, of course, won with Pioneer Spirit. He won with My Lady Curlin. And he won in Chicago, too. That Julia Foxtrot, she won the Modesty. Jack Sisterson, speaking of multi-stake, multi-venue winners. Jack Sisterson is tearing it up. Bandua in the Arlington Handicap. We'll talk to Jack at 10:30. But then yesterday, Laurel snuck in a handful of stakes. Things like the Ben's Cat and the Concern, the Twix, the Jamila, and the Stormy Blues, and Lexingtonian. Maybe a cut beneath the Alan Jerkins horses, but we'll see what Jack says. Won the Concern, the Spitestown, with Sheldon Russell. So Jack with a Saturday-Sunday stakes double. So much to do. Speaking of Jack Sisterson, Doug O'Neill's going to join us after the first break. And Jack, of course, worked for Doug, so it's kind of a mentor-mentee pairing in the first couple of hours. Doug, of course, had comical on opening day. And I thought, you know what? Let's go back to opening day and hear from O'Neill, not just about comical, but also about Del Mar getting started. Don't want to lose track of the West Coast opportunities. So Doug O'Neill early on, and speaking of the West Coast connections and the two-year-olds, well, not only did Comical on Thursday, get things started, but then after we left you on Friday, how about in the quick call, the win from Ben Cecil. How great was that? Cecil apparently out of the country. I saw that Dave Grenig noted that Cecil was traveling. In fact, there was a whole bunch of invaders, really, that that did okay. Mr. Haverkamp on Friday. That was the Friday. The other one was listing one on Thursday. But it was Mr. Haverkamp coming down on Friday for Catherine Day Phillips off the layoff. And if he was going to be ready off that layoff, well, he fit. And it was one of those things where you realized in deep stretch, you're like, oh no, this horse is going to win. He's going to win at a big price. And I just glossed over him. Yeah, Mr. Haverkamp. Very cool. I haven't reached out to Catherine Phillips yet, but I should do that. Eddie Keneally, by your side, made the last right move around Ortiz. And the Constitution two-year-old. We had Eddie on TV yesterday. Eddie was the first guest, and we talked about some interesting things with Eddie, actually. We hit on a bunch of topics. And there's another guy, mentor of kind of a hot house for trainers. Because, of course, Brendan Walsh came up under Eddie, as did Tom Morley. So we had a nice conversation with Eddie. Yes, always fun to have Eddie Keneally. And this is a nice win for Constitution on the Stallion front. By your side, 74 buyer. The filly on Thursday got an 80. And that's not unusual for the fillies to be a little ahead of the boys at this time of the year. Speaking of Ortiz's, by the way, we got to catch up on all the it's early, 10% of the meet, 4 days of the meet, but there were some notable slow starts from some jocks and from some connections. But Jose Ortiz went down to Delaware, obviously to ride a late. But while he was there, he won for Eddie down there. Parlor. And the Lonro wins the Glasgow at a short price. I think it was 3-2. But Ortiz also winning on Capital Temptress. So Mott with the pair down there. And then he also won for Anthony Margada Jr. on Bronx Beauty. Jose Ortiz, 4 stake wins Saturday at Delaware. And actually, there was a lot of that going on because Sean Bridgemahan won, you know, both of the Cox winners on Saturday night. Brian Hernandez, he won a pair for Nacho Correas at Indiana as well. Just hitting some of the, you know, the top line. We'll get into the detail, obviously, the next day or two, probably through Wednesday, and you know, get up close to opening day at Del Mar. And then we'll start to look forward to what's going to go on at Monmouth Park. And they should have, looks like the card is shaping up well. And, of course, the three-year-olds, that's starting to really gel. Game winner returns a game winner in that Los Al Derby. You know, obviously just, you know, 3 overmatch foes and all that, but you know, visually very solid, and it was drawing off at the end and on target for a trip to Saratoga and the Travers. Other decisions are pending from around around the three-year-old world. War of Will worked here on Saturday. He's set for the Jim Dandy. Shug, still on the fence with Code of Honor, but Tacitus, he's running, and Tax, Global Campaign. And we'll save the a lot of the Haskell prequel toward Wednesday. And actually, I got to check. I had the invite, and I can't remember if the draw is, I think that, yeah, the draw's got to be Wednesday. Yeah, the draw's got to be Wednesday. I thought for a second maybe it might be Tuesday, but I don't think so. I think there have been, because, you know, the Sunday, when they were doing the Sunday racing. So anyway, back to Saratoga. I mean, just so much to absorb, and, you know, couldn't watch everything live Saturday. Being at Saratoga, so you have to watch a lot of things on the replays. And you had good performances. One place I want to mention, too, is up at Woodbine. And yesterday, Pink Lloyd, just amazing. Pink Lloyd, just Tiller calling him the best sprinter in the history of Canada. And a little tough to argue. Pink Lloyd again yesterday in the Vigil. Michael Dickinson, we definitely want to get Michael Dickinson on the next day or two. He won that Ontario Matron, the Grade 3, with Pemina. So, aside from out of town, Saratoga, I think everybody was, you know, kind of, you know, not sure what to expect, but the opening on Thursday, I think it made people a little cautious. They were like, oh, the numbers weren't, you couldn't really compare the numbers from Thursday to opening day here, you know, typically. And by the time the first 4 days are in the books, the numbers were excellent. Business-wise, plenty of action. So we were in uncharted territory, but I think now it feels like we're, you know, back up and in Saratoga mode. Wednesday things will feel like a typical spa summer. Some terrific numbers from a mutual standpoint. You only have to find, you know, one here or there, and you probably did pretty well. We had a good start to the meet. Very pleased. And aside from the, you know, the obvious mutuals, very pleased to start the season with our horses, too. Minnemouse with a nice effort on Saturday. I didn't know what to expect. That was a real jumbled group. The Maiden 40s, State Breds. She came running. Chris Landeros, we talked about it with Mig on, you might have heard the replay. And Chris was kind of just biding the time a little bit early, and they ran away from her. They went fast up front, 5.5. And then she started to roll. And I wouldn't have given you 10 cents at the top of the stretch for her to hit the board or to cash a, any kind of check. And then all of a sudden, she really started to roll and finished, made up 6-plus lengths in the stretch. Yeah, it was fun. And just, the funny part was she was so proud of herself because she knew she was in a photo. She came back, she was all full of herself. And she was yesterday, too, going to visit. It's always nice to go visit, after your horse ran. And so, nice job. Thanks to Chris Landeros, and Mouse will come back. She boosted her figure by 15 points. She'd run a couple of high 30s in her first two grass starts. The two-year-old and early three-year-old form on dirt is meaningless. Why she was the price she was silly. I mean, I didn't think she was a big win candidate, but I mean, the whole field was, you couldn't separate by 5 lengths on paper. Why was she 80-1? So I hope some people catch supers with her down at the bottom. What did I didn't even look at that because I don't bet super, so I wasn't paying attention to that. What the super pay? Super paid $194.85. Nice. Not so bad, right? That was a good start to the season. Just getting going. Doug O'Neill, Brad Cox, Johnny D., Jack Sisterson. Much, much more. Just getting going here. Happy birthday, Tina. I don't know if she's listening at school. She had to go work. I can't believe it. Yeah, people say, oh, the teachers, they're off all summer. No, they're not. They go in. They work. They clean their office, their room. They work plenty. Back after this with Doug O'Neill.
Racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Summer is one of the best times for serious horse players to bet their races. Saratoga and Del Mar are in full swing, along with other top tracks like Gulfstream and Laurel, and ExpressBet puts them all at your fingertips. Plus, ExpressBet customers can play in exclusive tournaments and promotions this summer, and new customers can earn a $500 sign-up bonus. Visit ExpressBet.com today. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from EchoBase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Welcome back at the races. 20 minutes. We're right on time. 20 minutes into hour one and 4 days into the Saratoga season. 0 hour coming up at Del Mar on Wednesday. And I'm going to try to put the two together, Saratoga, Del Mar, Doug O'Neill. And Doug, who, of course, won the hopeful. I'll tell you what, it's actually a few years ago by now. Rallis, right? Rallis?
That's right. Yeah, those are good times, Steve. Good times.
How long ago was that?
God, I know that had to be 3 or 4 years ago, right?
Yeah.
I'm bad with time. I can't remember what I did yesterday, to be honest with you. But yeah, that was quite exciting, and Mr. Paul Redham with a homebred, a son of Square Eddie, to win the Grade One. That was quite a thrill, and really a credit to how great Square Eddie is and the whole crew there at Ocean Breeze Ranch where he stands, and quite a team out there.
Well, you seem like you're forward with Comical, and talk about first and foremost the decision to send one in this way and to come to this spot and take advantage of that early opportunity at Saratoga with her.
Yeah, I think just that, you know, when she broke her maiden so impressively at Santa Anita, and unfortunately Santa Anita doesn't really have a 2-year-old stakes program at all. So, we started looking around the country, and there's the grade three there at Saratoga, and I gave her ample time, I think like six, 7 weeks from her impressive maiden win. And so we just kind of circled that on the calendar, and as we trained towards it, she just kept doing better and better. And you never know how they're going to ship, especially a horse that's only run one time. But she handled everything like a total pro and really gutted out a nice win there.
Well, and you reference the way in which she won. And that's a lot with the way it unfolded and three – fillies coming to the wire together and horses get spooked and intimidated, one to their inside, one to their outside. They have a tendency to get alarmed and panic. You got Javier Castellano, which helps certainly, but this was a really exciting way to kick off the stakes program at Saratoga.
It really was. Yeah, it was obviously we were real excited to win, but it was an exciting run there to the wire with, like you say, three of them, and the filly of Todd Pletcher's, I believe, that Kiss the Girl. She really
looks like
she's loaded with talent and probably wants more ground. So she's I'm sure an up and coming star. So it was exciting, and fortunately, Comical came out of it in great shape, and we're excited to get her here to Del Mar. She's due to ship in Wednesday, so we're looking for the race or two here at Del Mar, kind of play it by ear.
Well, and ideally, obviously, you got the big opportunity at the end of the meet there when it comes to the debutante.
Yeah, that's the most logical next spot for her, not to look too far down the road, but she does have a lot of talent, a lot of upside. Being an Into Mischief is a beautiful thing, and she's out of a Tis Now mare. So, we're excited too, her getting two turns down the road. So we'll enjoy one day at a time, but we're blessed to have her around. That's for sure.
Doug, I'm going to ask you about, you mentioned the Into Mischief portion and being out of Case Ace, Susan Gassner listed as the breeder, $100,000 yearling. I want to talk about how she was picked out and all that, but let me also touch on the way in which she rated to an extent, and she was attending the pace that was set by Integral, the other Pletcher, but in her debut going 4.5, she was right on the lead. What was the anticipation and what did you communicate to Javier in terms of what to expect once the gates opened?
It's a great group of guys too that that owned Comico with Eric Johnson, the hockey player, and Gary Barber, Dave Kenny, and Saul Kunin are a great team of owners, and just huddling up with them as we were going into the race, just figured, with Javier on her, he had actually came and worked her for us at Belmont before we shipped from Belmont to Saratoga, so he got a chance to feel her, and he was like, wow, she's a talented filly. So, had a great post and just said, you know what, let's just wish Javier good luck and see how it plays out. So I'm glad we did, because in those kind of races, you hate to tie a top jock's hands to do certain things and just kind of play the break, play the pace. And Javier did another phenomenal job. When the money's down, even when the money's not down, he's just a phenomenal rider and a class act.
Well, and that's interesting, because I wasn't sure if you thought that maybe, she would break running, it looked on paper like, and always at this time of year when you talk about, six furlongs in July and early August, typically, they're all gonna come out running, and a lot of them, showed speed in their wins, this I thought was I think a race where all of the horses, the top four finishers, in fact, to some extent, they all look like they've got nice futures. Then when the boys ran on Saturday, this ended up, from a figure standpoint, this ended up earning an 80, the boys a 74 in the Sanford on Saturday. You mentioned the ownership group had a little contact with Eric, and we're going to get him on this week. I want to talk about his interest in the game and how much fun he's having, because he just seems so gung-ho about being involved in racing.
He really is. He's being a professional athlete, he's a super competitive guy, and he just absolutely loves the sport, which is such a blessing for all of us in horse racing to have big time athletes from other sports get involved in horse racing. So, he's loves coming out to the barn and being right there with his horses, and he's involved and loves all the strategizing that goes in and like in hockey, the injuries come, and you just got to be patient and take care of them and know that there'll be a race for that horse down the road. So, yeah, he's a huge addition, and aside from all that, he's a great guy. He's a good guy, and he's great with the whole crew. Whenever he comes out, he's always bringing T-shirts and shoes and whatever. He's just
nice.
Just a good guy. Yeah, so he's very blessed. I'm blessed to have him in the crew, and I know he looks forward to Delmar, so he's going to roll down here in the next few days for a week or so, before he's got to get back in that full-fledged training, which those guys do most year-round. So, good stuff.
Well, and, of course, you mentioned Saul Kuhlman and Dave Kenny and Gary Barber. Sent Gary the little trophy, little thumbs up about the win. Fun group. We should also talk about the third-place finisher, Shippy, making her first start for you. And you want to talk about fun owners. I mean, it's all you got. Up and down your whole roster of ownership are all fun people. Here's Dean Reeves and Patty and the irrepressible Randy Hill. Talk about this nice filly that everybody knew that if she was going to repeat that debut win from Laurel when Tim Kreiser unveiled her, that she was going to be tough, and she ran fine from the one hole. Talk about Shippy's performance.
Yeah, when she debuted at Laurel and won the way she did, I had a good friend back east say, "Oh my God, did you see that horse Joe Besker?" I've had horses with Joe. I'm good friends with Joe Besker. "Did you see the horse he debuted with Tim Kreiser?" And I said, "I didn't." And then I watched it. I was like, "Oh my God, she won by nearly 11 lengths and just geared down." And so I talked to Joe, and Joe's like, "Well, I want to stay in, but I'm interested in selling the majority over." I'm like, "Really?" So just through contacting some people, had the representative from Dean Reeves call and Randy Hill call, and then we got a deal together. You know, credit to Tim Kreiser on this one, because I had her a very short period of time. We had Jose Ortiz came and worked her for us once at Belmont, and he was wowed by her as well. And when she drew the rail, she was one I thought would be forwardly placed, but like the team of comical, Mr. Reeves and Mr. Hill and Joe Besker there, we just said, you know what, let's just let Jose, such a phenomenal rider, let him play the break and play it by ear. And I really think if she had a more outside post, she might have been really tough to beat in there. But, she's an exciting filly with an exciting future for sure.
Well, you know, to make a deal with Randy Hill, all you got to do is dial the phone, because the answer is always yes. you call Randy and say, Randy, we got a nice horse. You want to come in? Yes.
See, now this, I didn't know. This is the first horse I've ever had with Dean Reeves and Randy Hill. So, yeah, they seem like super good guys. They're East Coast guys, so I think that this filly's going to end up staying with Kathy Ritvo, which is awesome. I love Kathy. She's super cool. Be a bummer not to take Shippy to California. But, I just want to whatever in the best interest of them. And I think keeping her on the East Coast is going to be what they're going to do. So I'll know more here in the next little bit. But that's okay. She's a beautiful filly and going to a great barn in Kathy's barn.
Well, and gets the graded stake placing out of that exciting three-horse finish with Kiss the Girl in between. And then on Saturday, you sent out for the first time, very similar scenario, Raging Whiskey, who ran very well, I thought, and very solidly, kind of evenly. Talk about Raging Whiskey, first start under your name.
Yeah, that's a gentleman named Greg Pappas, owned a majority of him, and kind of bought out his partner with a guy named Charles Bartlett jumped in. So Charles Bartlett and Greg Pappas, great, great guys. We he was coming off a nice win there at Santa Anita. And again, not a lot of options in Southern California at this time with a young winner. So the Sanford was kind of a little ambitious, but we said, there's a plane going that way. Let's see what happens. And we had Javier come work him as well at Belmont, and he liked him. He liked the fact that he had speed, but he seemed like he had multiple gears. And then he drew kind of towards the inside, if I remember right, in the Sanford. Now it's coming to me. Down the lane, he actually got pinched off. I thought for sure they would move our number up, but they didn't make a change. But regardless, he showed that he can shift, which is such a, big characteristic you got to have if you want to be a good horse and ship around the country. So he showed a lot of class and quality that way. And I thought without being impeded down the lane, he definitely would have run second.
Well, you weren't the only person curious about no call, yeah. But Raging Whiskey. So he'll come back.
Yep.
To California, and he'll look toward the Del Mar program.
That's the plan. Yeah, the best pal possibly. That might be coming back a little quick, but he's a big, strong dude. So by a newer stallion that I'm not really that aware of, the Bourbon Courage, but
right.
Yeah, he's out of a Quiet American Mare, and I think he's going to get better with distance as well, I think. So we're excited about him, and he also handled himself so well there at that beautiful Saratoga paddock, which can be a little intimidating on young horses, and he acted like he had been there multiple times and really acted like a pro.
Well, and talking about improving horses, let's look at the Los Al Derby result, and we'll catch up with Baffert about game winner later. But Parsimony for Mr. Redham, he had a nice Paul had a nice Saratoga with the Ben Cecil with Listing winning the quick call. That was great. This is a funny horse. Took forever to you know, kind of come together. Still a maiden, and yet, you know, you wouldn't know it. I mean, certainly by his earnings and by his record, this is now his sixth second, but graded stake placed. And, you know, you're in one of those funny places. I remember Mark Hennig had a horse like this for Mr. Redham a few years ago. That was like a maiden deep into the 3-year-old year. Who am I thinking of?
Well, we had a bondholder. He won. The race at Keeneland? I think the Breeders' Cup for Charity as a maiden. And so we've had a couple maidens jump up and win big races. They are, you know, the 2-year-old and 3-year-old. Straight maidens aren't easy, and you know, if you can get a route horse in some of these stake races, you can really shock everyone. And so this particular horse with parsimony, Lo Sal was really struggling to make the race go with Game Winner. You know, no one wanted to run against Game Winner, of course, and other than Paul and I. And so they had called us saying, hey, he's nominated, you know, would you want to take a chance? I called Paul, and he said, how is he doing? I said, he's doing phenomenal. And he said, oh, let's enter and see. So yeah, it was really, he's a horse that's always trained like a good horse. And like you say, this is his, he's almost 50% running second. This is his sixth second of 13 starts. And he's been surrounding them and just hasn't. He's had a lot of bad draws, a lot of outside posts, and we tried him dirt and turf and all that stuff. So, you know, it's just a matter of getting everything together. And I think the other day, you know, he got an 88 buyer, I think, and that's pretty exciting for, you know, a mile and an eighth dirt horse for a 3-year-old to get an 88 buyer. So if that's accurate at all, I think we might finally have gotten over the hump there with parsimony.
What do you just find a place for him to break his maiden? You know, three and ups, or what do you do now?
I don't know. I know that's the tricky part, because now these three and up straight maidens can get pretty salty as well. So, you know, you get a 4-year-old hard knocking maiden who maybe has been plagued with little injuries here and there. They're tough as nails. So, but I think we'll probably, I got to talk to Paul more about this, but probably circle a maiden race at Del Mar and kind of play it by ear. But if a 3-year-old only stake pops up with a short field, you know, don't be shocked if you see parsimony in there somewhere.
Pretty funny. Well, we'll watch for him, and let's shift gears down to Del Mar. First couple of cards are drawn. You're going to be a big participant. Doug, before we talk about, you know, some of the places and the season in general, I want to take a minute, because we haven't spoken since the end of Santa Anita. You were instrumental in the rally that basically a media event for the backstretch employees to, you know, voice their, you know, their just dedication and to increase their awareness, the public's awareness. What was the aftermath? And I, you know, want to publicly, you know, thank you for what you and Oscar De La Torre and everybody did. It ended up being overshadowed, sadly, but give everybody a follow-up to that event.
I appreciate that, Steve. Yeah, Oscar's a wonderful guy, and, you know, he's runs a youth center in Santa Monica, California, and through a mutual friend, we got talking, geez, I don't know, a couple months ago, I guess it probably is now, and Santa Anita, it was just one of the craziest meets ever. I mean, I've never seen so much negativity and so much, as we got more negativity, it was like, you know, management, which I love, you know, you got to, grateful to be in the game and grateful to have stalls at Santa Anita and grateful for a lot of stuff, but was very, you know, I kept scratching my head the fact that we weren't telling anybody about all the amazing stuff that goes on a daily basis in the barn area, and all the families that are involved, and all the jobs, and bottom line, just all the love for horses. I mean, there's a shared theme here. We compete, and there's a lot of trainers and owners that maybe aren't crazy about each other, but the one thing they share is their love of horses. And I mean, I've been doing this a long time. I've never once seen any bout of horse abuse. So, you know, as I went to my local coffee shops and local restaurants and some of the people that know what I do, you know, it's just like one thing after another, like, oh my God, what you guys, it was like we were sitting on top of the grandstand, you know, shooting horses or something. And so anyways, got to meet Oscar, and Oscar's just one of those guys that whenever he sees somebody being wronged, he will run through a wall for you. He's just a wonderful human being, doesn't know a lot about horse racing, but he just knows when people are being wronged. So met with him. He got to come to the barn, got to meet not only my staff and their family, but tons of people in the barn area, and he was just floored by the amazing group of people and their families, and the amazing passion that went in on a daily basis. You know, all of us getting up early. You don't get up early, you know, unless you love what you do. So anyways, through that and through him interviewing people and meeting people, put together the small little rally, and I thought it was great, and it got a little bit of play. You know, like you say, it didn't get a lot of play, but some of the Mexican channels picked it up in the LA area. So it definitely, you know, we got to open some people's eyes up that were just getting, for whatever reason, just nonstop negativity press releases, it seemed like, from management. I don't know, it was the craziest thing. But anyway, so now, you know, I'm hoping Oscar can meet with the Del Mar people and continue to just, you know, some of the protesters, if we can just educate, you're never going to win everybody over, but if you can just educate some of those people who are hearing negative things but have no clue, if you can educate them people, the reality of what goes on, you know, maybe you can help change the story a little bit. So, and we could probably talk all day, Steve, about this stuff, but it definitely was a frustrating thing, but that particular event for, you know, a good hour or so, it got to showcase the reality of the great stuff that goes on a daily basis in every barn area across the country and every polo field, any horse-related sporting event. I mean, you've got just nothing but passionate people surrounding these amazing animals, and you got these amazing human athletes and the jockeys, you know, so you got a, you know, human athletes on top of equine athletes training every day, getting ready to compete. I mean, it's a magical thing. And we just need to talk more about the great stuff that goes on.
Well, then let's actually partner up and pair up two topics as we transition and with Lo Sal wrapping up and filling the, you know, the void, certainly the grass horses get a break leading into Del Mar. Doug, I got to ask you, as we get ready for Wednesday to open the summer at Oceanside, the Jerry Hollendorfer situation, we haven't heard very few people from the horseman side have, I think privately, have been supportive and frustrated, but anything to impart as to how and why and you want to talk about unfairness, and not to put you on the spot on this, but you know, you've got pretty broad shoulders.
Well, I may not have stalls left when I come back to Santa Anita, but. You know, Tim Ritzo's always been really cool with me, and I've got a good rapport with him. But, I think it all, Linda Stronach just, came up with this thing, and it absolutely is insane, I think. And, you know, when you look at all the stuff that went on at Sandy, so much of it had to do with the upper management. I'm not saying Tim Ritzel, because Tim's a horseman, and he's running tracks all around the country. So I admire his effort of trying to spin all his plates in the air. He does an amazing job. But, you know, just from, you know, Belinda, you got to put it on her, because she's the main person in charge. And, you know, for her to not take ownership of some of the horrible things that were going on at that meet, you know, from Dennis Moore resigning due to, you know, a variety of things, and us running through some of the craziest weather around, and, you know, just one thing after another. They had some people that are no longer there, but that were pressuring people to run, and during the crazy weather. So, you know, no one took ownership for any of that. And then to have a Hall of Fame trainer like Jerry Hollendorf, or, you know, have a, you know, accidental fatalities. I know he had four, but it can happen to any of us at any time in any horse sport. I mean, that things happen. And so that I just thought was the most crazy wrong thing. And I've told Jerry that, but, you know, unfortunately, I think it's an uphill battle when you're trying to fight that for him. So I feel terrible for him, and hopefully, you know, through time, you know, if, things will get done the right way, and we'll see Jerry's, I mean, he's the hardest working, one of the best horsemen I've ever seen. So I just don't know how you can fault him for, you know, for what went on there at that meet. There's a lot of people that should take ownership, and probably the worst meet Sandy has ever had.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you addressing it, Doug. Because I
now, if I need stalls, Steve, you got to. If I lose my stalls at Sandy, maybe I can be your sidekick on this radio show.
There you go.
But,
well,
I am a big believer. If Tim Ripple's listening, Tim, I love you. He's been cool to me, but some of the people higher up that I don't know that well, I'd question what the heck was going on during that meet. But we're going to focus on Delmo. We're excited about Delmar here.
Well, you certainly peppered the entry box for these first two cards Wednesday and Thursday. You know, just looking at the traditional season opener, the Oceanside, and let's get a feel for, you know, your overall thoughts going into the meet coming out of the first half of the year. Legends of War is your participant, the Scat Daddy, as we go a mile, of course, on the grass. Rafi Bejarano aboard. Talk a little bit about the meet and then about Legends of War on Wednesday.
Yeah, I thought David Jerkins and Craig Dato and the crew here at Tom Robbins at Del Mar did a wonderful job, because as a lot of the horsemen were cringing during the Santa Anita meet, you know, they were cringing as well, because obviously all the disasters that were happening there were going to filter down to them. So, you know, as they tried to put fires out and keep horsemen's energy excited to come down here, I thought, looking at the opening day card, you know, there's a lot of full fields and some really top-notch racing. So we're excited to be part of it. And Legends of War, I thought drew well. It's a big field, competitive field. Love having Bejarano on him, and you know, he's a horse that I think is more than a turf sprinter, and we'll see Wednesday. But he continues to train well, and you know, we're excited. It'll be interesting race to watch.
The middle part of the card after the Oceanside, you're also involved, I think, in the ninth, right? Yeah, Bucky's Pick goes in the ninth. Yeah. Is there an O'Neill double in the offing?
You know, that race came up tougher than I thought it would, and there is a lot of speed signed up, and he drew well. He's towards the outside there, going 7 furlongs. This Abel Cedillo, who's one of the top riders, actually was the top rider in Northern California, came down there. Came down at the end of Santa Anita, I believe, and is represented by Tom Knuth. And this kid can really, really ride. He's like a baby Rosario. I don't want to jinx him, but he reminds me of like a young Rosario. And so got Abel on Bucky's pick, and yeah, it definitely is a bigger field, but I didn't think they'd get 12 in there. And then, you know, with horses like Cool Bobby and, oh God, there was another one in there I thought looked pretty tough, but it definitely came up tough. But Bucky's pick, he tries hard every time, and I know Abel will be riding his butt off down the lane, and I think we got a shot at a big price.
You got that Irish Heat Wave in there as well, and Phil D'Amato has got Red Island, the Irish import, and Ray Bell's got an import from France, actually, Real Master, that's debuting. So we're going to need some help, certainly, from Andy Harrington, and I'll put in the National Turf plug. Don't play Del Mar without the help of Andy Harrington, National Turf. The one part about the card, you talk about that race. I'm actually looking at the seventh on Thursday, because I was going to ask you about that Calbred that's facing open company, Carnivorous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he ran a credible race last time, going two turns on the grass, and he won his first condition up north, so he doesn't have it here, so we've got to run him in for the 80. But, another son of Square Eddie, and as you saw, listing winning for Paul Renham and Ben Sussel back east. You know, he's just such an amazing stallion. So I think Carnivorous, he'll be a little bit of an outsider there, but he's training well, and he's got a good chance to get it done.
You know, since you brought up Square Eddie, you made me think of something. And, in fact, I'm looking at that $150,000 maiden claimer. This is one of those funny 2-year-old races that they run. Saratoga runs these occasionally too, the $100,000 claimers, and I see the presence of a Golden Sense, and it occurs to me to ask you, Doug, you've got to be thrilled watching what Golden Sense is doing.
Wow.
And I'm sure you've got a few of your own either in the pipeline or down the shed row.
Glenn Sorgenstein of WC Racing, it was so kind to gifted my brother and I both a lifetime share of the Golden Sense. So yeah, he's just he's a horse that just keeps giving. He's amazing, and it's like watching a family member compete at a high level when you see his babies do what they did. And like the Brett Calhoun that won the Indiana Derby the other night was exciting. So yeah, they're we've got a handful of Golden Sense babies for Glenn Sorgenstein, they're all runners. And as you saw in the Indiana Derby, I think they got speed, but they also are going to be able to carry it two turns. So for his first crop to already have a horse that ran in Kentucky Derby and then win the Indiana Derby, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to say he's got a bright, bright future as a stallion. So very excited.
Well, and leading, he's leading his group here, second crop, and got to going into the yearling markets, got to figure that, plenty of attention. Let me ask you a couple, just a minute or two left, Doug O'Neill with us, touching on everything. Pavel with a nice third, and Doug, I suppose you got to consider the Whitney, no?
You know, I think he might, another one I got to talk to Paul about, but he's back here in California, and I think the Pacific Classic may be the dream goal with him. So, but I agree with you. I mean, when we drew the 11 hole going a mile and a quarter at Belmont, we're like, oh man, that's you feel like you're out in the parking lot. So, for him to run he ran 101 buyer, one of his best buyers of his life. And to run a competitive third against some really tough company there at Belmont was exciting. And yeah, he's an amazing horse that just a real joy and pleasure to be around on a daily basis. He's just an absolute professional that can ship and he just knocks heads with the best horses around the world and does it in a almost winning way. He's knocking on the door he did win a grade one once, but he's got a lot of thirds and fourths against some of the best in the world.
Well, in addition to Pavel, who it makes sense as well to stay on the West Coast and give him a chance to work toward, considering that the Classic is going to be at Santa Anita, no need, I guess, to ship all over the place. I do want to ask you about one two-year-old that won at First Asking. Also, Eric Johnson, that's scoring, the Justin Phillip. Yeah. When are we going to see him next?
Now, he was planning on going to the Sanford, and then his last work at Sanity came back with a little bit of a shin. So he's at the farm recovering, but yeah, he's got a super bright future. And, he's one of those from the word go. And I've had another Justin Phillips as well, very similar. They're just real precocious, very competitive. And he's no different. He's a big, good-looking horse, too, that I'm optimistic he'll be able to handle 7 furlongs up to a mile. He's on the farm recovering.
Well, and a $50,000 OBS March purchase by Rain Man, your brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was counting matches and between watching People's Court. Yeah, Dennis is, I love to bust his chops because he's my brother, but he doesn't like hearing this, but he does some of his best work when he doesn't spend a lot of money. But this is definitely one that him and Eric both really liked him, and he's got a bright future, this guy.
Well, speaking of futures, 2-year-olds that are going to be unveiled here in coming weeks at Del Mar. Tell us about one or two of the ones you're most excited about.
Oh, God. I've got a colt that Coach Patino is in on, and a colt named Defense Wins. That is so Coach Patino, isn't it?
He's
a defensive coach. But, he's supposed to debut this weekend at Del Mar, and he acts like a really, really talented colt. What else? We got that 4 left of Paul Redham's that went back east and won at Belmont, and he's gearing up for the best pal out here. And some of the babies that haven't started yet, I've got half a dozen or so. So I'm drawing a blank on names, but we should hopefully in the next few weeks start dropping some horses in the entry box that. Hopefully have bright futures, so we're excited.
Well, best of luck at Del Mar Wednesday. Things kick off, and Doug O'Neill, well involved. Doug, know we'll talk soon over the summer. I appreciate it. Congratulations on the nice win to kick off Saratoga. You got the meat going in the right way up here, and whether you send any more our way, or not. Always great to have Doug O'Neill come east. The win in the Schuylerville, comical. And we're going to talk to Eric Johnson this week, too. Doug, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. Keep up the great work, Steve. I appreciate it.
Not at all. Doug O'Neill won on Twitter, everybody, and always frank and a valuable resource when you want to talk about really any topic, and especially some of the challenging hard news elements out on the West Coast. Let's take a break. Johnny D standing by. We'll get Johnny in here, talk about his opening Saratoga weekend, how he fared, and I'm sure he's excited about the Del Mar season as well. Back after this.
Hour 2 at the Races. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
Career track are you on? University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky, or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through HorseBills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the HorseBills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. HorseBills.com. Toll-free number 888-9000. 938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Johnny, we're sorry. Won't you come on board?
We're back at the races. Top of hour two. Terrific half hour with Doug O'Neill. I appreciate being able to ask Doug a couple of tough questions and his responses. Johnny joins us the first full week of summer action. Johnny, Del Mar Wednesday, Thursday, getting rolling. We've got Haskell Week unfolding as well. It's all happening. Good morning.
Good morning, Stevie. It's so great to hear from you on this beautiful morning. And Saratoga is not running today. A big change, but I think you'll enjoy it.
I got to be honest. I went into the weekend. I could tell yesterday, getting ready for television for Loose on the Lead, the fact that I didn't have the, print the Monday card and have the Monday, have all that ready so that I would have to handicap, it puts you, in a more relaxed frame of mind. I got to be honest. I knew it was going to be a plus. I think people it'll really register as these weeks start to unfold.
Yeah, because it'll give you time to recharge the batteries Monday, and then you'll have Tuesday also. Once you get those 2 days under your belt, you'll be anxious to, that anxious feeling when you grab the PPs for Wednesday or Thursday for that next racing day. It'll keep you fresh through Sunday, and then also you'll have more energy to begin the new week. It's just going to be this could be a better way of doing things. And look, there are people who work way harder than any of us work in this world, and they must be looking at us thinking, these guys are complaining about having to go to the races. Whether Saratoga's running 5 or 6 days a week, that really is a first world problem.
Well, at the same time, it's more, Johnny, it's more a question of doing the job well. And it's not so much my biggest concern would always be that I, you know, you'd get to Sunday and then the Monday card and you just weren't giving it the same quality, the same level of attention and detail that you're supposed to. And that, I mean, if you, you know, if you're going to offer your opinion out there to everybody and you know, if your opinion becomes, you know, relied on or looked to, nothing would bother me more than, you know, than knowing that I, you know, put up a set of selections and an analysis where I felt it was incomplete, that I didn't have all the information I could have had and, you know, included, but, you know, not because of being lazy, but just because you ran out of time. I mean, there's only so many hours that you can get to this. And especially when you start folding in, you know, the social part, because you don't just, you know, go to the racetrack from 1 to 6 and then, you know, then go home. There's social, obligations that are part of this.
You know, and there, I'm sure some of the listeners will remember the days when, and I don't know how I survived, when I would have been at Del Mar. Del Mar was 6 days a week, and Saratoga was 6 days a week, and you tried to handicap both cards, and, wow, talk about going nonstop. Plus, Del Mar does have, like Saratoga, an active social scene, which I was a part of at an earlier stage of my life, and it was, I don't know how I survived, but here I sit now 5 days a week in both places, and it's better. So you think to yourself, you know, sometimes less is more, and this is a case where that is true. And not to mention the people who work with the horses and work on the backside and, you know, getting that extra day of break really makes a difference for them, too.
Well, let's dive in and talk about your early impressions. What did you make of this first 10% of the meet?
Well, I do a great Rodney Dangerfield impersonation, but, oh, you're talking about impressions. Yeah, well, Saratoga impressions. I thought things, I didn't like the rain opening day. So if there's anything you can do about that for the rest of the meet, go ahead and take care of that. I didn't like the off the turf. And by the time we're all excited for opening day at Saratoga. By the time we got to the last race, it was down to that three horse extravaganza. There's nothing we can do about that. But it was so great. It was such a great feeling to have Saratoga back in action, and I thought the weekend was phenomenal. I really enjoyed playing the races at Saratoga this weekend. I thought they were very handicappable, if that's a word. I thought everything made sense. You know, when Chad Brown finishes 1-2-3 in the stakes race, you know all is right with the world, and I didn't think there were any real bombs over the weekend. I thought even the price horses kind of made sense to me. I know you're going to get to it later, but we can kind of work in Fun in the Sun right now since we're talking about the results and how things turned out. The Fun in the Sun, Express Bets Fun in the Sun competition began Saturday, and you know, the payoffs for a $10 win wager, we had a special story in Saturday's seventh race, returned $118. And in the 10th race, Ruler of the Nile returned $136. So that's for a $10 win wager. So the rest of the way, you know, the highest price payoff was $63 for Patriot Drive in the last. So pretty formful Saturday, and as you mentioned earlier, you were able personally to do well this weekend. And it's always good to get off to that nice, formful start in a meeting where it doesn't usually go that way. It seems to me like in the past, whether you're talking about opening week at Saratoga or opening week at Del Mar, which is coming up, you very often will get some outlandish payoffs that will knock you sideways. And you'll look at the horse and you'll say, and I think there were a few of these during the week. I can't remember if it was, pretty sure it was Wednesday, a horse won. I can't remember who it was. And I said, I can't have this horse. Oh, not Wednesday, but Thursday, opening day. And I look back, and you look back in the form and you say, what did I miss? You know, I didn't have this horse. What did I miss? And I looked at it and I said, I can't have this horse. I don't play that way, you know. I can't remember who it is for life of me. But anyway, it was probably one of the bigger payoffs on Thursday. But my point is that very often, beginning of Del Mar, beginning of Saratoga, you will have these outlandish payoffs. It makes the pick fives very tricky. The pick sixes, excuse me, we've already had a carryover at Saratoga, and the payoff for the carryover was $132,000. So, you know, it wasn't easy on Sunday either. But again, I don't think there were any crazy ones on Sunday. I thought what was crazy about Sunday's card was putting together the right, you know, the right ticket, the right combination. Because I thought in a few races you had to go, you know, when you start having to go 5-6 deep on these $2 pitch sixes, you know, it adds up quickly. So I thought that was the tricky part. Because here's the thing, Sunday, I hit the late pick five, which paid $1,200. And the pick six, which I played and didn't hit, paid $132,000. Now, that's one more race. It's picking a winner in one more race, and it's a $2 wager instead of a 50-cent wager. So, and that's the difference it makes between $1,200 and $132,000. Why? Why is this? It's one more winner, and it's a $2 wager. It's four times the price. Because that's what happens when you go four times the price. It's hard for you to include, you know, as many horses as you, and be right in one more race. It's amazing how that works, but it's just the math. And you, one thing I've learned in my life, you can't outrun math. I wish I would have, I don't want to say I didn't pay attention in school to math, but I didn't have the aptitude for it. And I've learned a lot more as I've gotten older about what I need to know math-wise, but I'm not good at math. It's not something that comes easily to me. In fact, I'm so bad that when I play golf with Will, my buddy Will, he won't let me add up the scorecard. Of course.
That's pretty
of
fun.
Of course, he's an MIT grad, so I let him add up the scorecard. I let him do it. I'm a liberal arts guy. He's a math guy. But my point is that as I've gotten older, I've come to realize you can't outrun math. So many things we do, almost everything we do is based on percentages. And I use this example to explain to someone, they ask, well, percentages or odds of this. So I say, look, when you come to a street corner and you're going to cross the street, your mind does all these calculations. You look both ways, and your mind is, you don't come up with a number, but your mind is figuring out the odds of you making it to the other side. You know, is there a good chance? Is there a so-so chance? Is there no chance? And basically, that's what you're doing. You're calculating the odds sure. of you crossing the street and staying healthy. So, yeah, you know, everything we do is odds. You know, they say, oh, horse racing is so difficult. The odds, no one can figure the odds. Well, maybe not calculate them to the number or do the math computation, but the odds are pretty easy because you use them every day. Everything you do, you use odds. So anyway, long story short, I've gained an appreciation for odds. I've gained an appreciation for math. And when I look at my pick five, pick six payoff, I am frustrated by saying, oh my God, this is 1,200 and this is 132,000 and all I need is one more winner. That can frustrate you unless you realize that you're messing with math, man. And math is a nasty dude.
Now, and speaking of, you know, some of the interesting themes here in the early going, certainly the first couple of days, we've had the 2-year-old races a little bit more, I thought, a little bit more inscrutable than usual. And I don't know if it's going to be a theme going forward, Johnny, but, you know, starting with Gary Gullo winning that New York bred mid-card on Thursday with Big Q.
That was the one.
Paid 30. And also, what about on Friday? How about Vast for Bill Mott and Claiborne Dilschneider? And that was, you know, Friday, very nice day, Friday and Saturday particularly. But Vast, I was shocked that you got 12, 13 to 1 in that spot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm remembering off the top of my head, it seemed to me that horse, you're saying the odds were good and you liked the payoff.
There was enough, I can tell you, from a clocking standpoint. I mean, just using DRF, using Mike Welch and company, Vast had worked nicely. There's, I think, more of a recognition factor of Mott that you have to be, you know, more in tune with his babies the last few years. So I was shocked when Vast paid 27.80.
Yeah, and I, your point is well taken about the openness of the 2-year-old ranks. You know, in years past, it wasn't necessarily automatic, but I will say that, you know, you'd run through the 2-year-old races at Saratoga, look for the Todd Fletcher, and start your ticket there. And more often than not, you'd be right. I'm not sure that's, you know, the case right now. And it may be before the meet is over, but absolutely right now, you can't go to a 2-year-old race and just tick a box. Like, and also I think Saturday certainly Chad Brown won his share, but there were a couple of spots Saturday and Sunday, I think one on each day, where there was a heavily bet Chad Brown horse that didn't win. And you're going to get that, obviously, because of Chad's success.
Sheer numbers, yeah. Of course.
Yeah. But, you know, you've got to be careful. You've got to pause and say, well, wait a minute now. I think on Sunday, I think what kept me alive in my pick five is that the other thing that's happened is I've become more, I've fallen in love with the ABC method, which you have used you've always espoused it, and Steve Crist, you know, advocated it long ago.
He created it.
And I never got on board, which is kind of strange because I was around for the pick six heydays when it was $2 and it was all the rage in California. I was around for all that and was part of many tickets and put in my own tickets and groups. And they used to do a form of that. One group that I was in was would do a form of that. But it never stuck with me. Now, look, I always I always got the basic tenet that, look, you're wasting money on tickets where you don't like the horses you're using as much as you like other tickets, the horses you're using. So you're wasting money on those tickets. They shouldn't be the same price. I get that. I understand that. I don't know if it was. I don't know why. I don't know why I never converted. But I have now, and I've started to do that. And what I found is it all, besides getting you alive, the better combination, it also forces you to make decisions. And that's another good thing, which I think I read Steve's book. I loved it. It was a genius. And I agree with everything he said, but I just never did it. Anyway, I did it Sunday, yesterday, and Chad Brown, in the eighth race, I can't recall the horse's name off the top of my head, was a single for me. But I saved with, I think, a C.
Varenka? Wait, you're talking about Varenka and Catchabit?
Yes.
Wow. Because I tell you what, to me, that was I'm shocked that you were ready to single Catchabit.
I know, because as the day wore on, you know, it's funny, you put in your pick five, and then you continue to handicap the day as it goes on. And by the time that race came up, I was like, what the hell did I do here?
Well, especially, I'll tell you why, Johnny, because here's the issue with that. It became obvious early in the day. I mean, here we were, we hadn't had rain since Thursday. And it became apparent that, you know, on the turf going two turns, horses on the front end, you know, were being carried. And you had to get a little nervous that anybody from, you know, that was going to come from off of it was going to be a little compromised.
Yeah. But, you know, excuse me, as the race turned out, I wasn't wrong about Catchabit.
No. She ran great.
She ran an awesome. I mean, that punch that she kicked in when he unleashed her in the lane, that was awesome. And she was moving. It was just that Varenka was moving faster. And what an outstanding race that was for both of those fillies. And I will say that by the time I got to the race, I was glad. Well, so there you go. It saved me because I had Varenka. I did think enough of her to put her on there, but as a C, you know, it's like, you know, I threw it in at the last second. So that's where an ABC ticket really, you know, really helped. Because I got the, you know, I hit the pick five, so that was good.
So that was my day Saturday. Same thing. Saturday.
Back to the original point I was getting at before I went off on this tangent, as I usually do, is that Chad Brown, for me, like, I thought Catchabit's maiden race was absolutely sensational. It was an awesome race. I was, you know, when you win by that far in a turf, I know it's a maiden. You go maiden to allowance. But I thought it was an awesome race. So, and Catchabit was a heavy favorite in the race, if I remember correctly. And she fired. She just got beat by somebody who was better on the day. But anyway, that was my point. We're talking about Chad Brown runners. You can't pick those automatic boxes all the time. You have to do the work.
No doubt about it. But as we, you know, as we go through and look at, you know, some of the early, you know, some of the early themes and you know, it people, you know, people analyze this meet in different ways. You can do it, you know, for many years when it was the 6 weeks, 6 days, you know, it was the first 2 weeks, the middle 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks. People can do it by 10 day, by quarters, when you start to see horses cycle back for a second start. But, it's fun to track things like the multi-race returns. And, You know, there's been daily, there's been at least one, in most cases, two double-digit, you know, type horses that if you found, and that, you know, Saturday, you know, was a particular opportunity, you know, if you found them, you're doing okay. And you don't even, it's funny, you don't even have, I said this, on TV Sunday, or maybe on Friday, the horse of on opening day of Charlie Baker's. You know, you were looking at that Light the Posse, 14, almost 15 to 1, Johnny, and looking at him and using Theragraph, certainly, all you had to do was speculate and say, well, if this horse can translate to the grass, he's got a huge shot. And sure enough, the grass was fine for Light the Posse and wins well. There's been I had the horse on Saturday that kind of was the key to the whole day. Special Story, you know, a horse that kind of jumped off the page a little bit for me. You also had
who's the figure late horse that?
That was the one, Stacy Torelli.
Yeah.
Special Story. And that's, you know, that's something that'll be repeated here. How about Kelsey Danner with the first start ever at Saratoga and the winner yesterday?
Yeah, I think that one knocked me out of there. Was that Sunday? I think that was Sunday.
That was yesterday. That was Call Me Harry, the first-time starter, 15-1. Last year, you remember Richie Vega came up here last year between the Collegeville girl and that other New York bred, I'm going to forget his name, that won at like 15-2. This is a theme that's repeated constantly. Years ago for us, it was the Rockingham Shippers. It was also Barkley Tag off the van coming up from Maryland. Invaders, that the unknown connection angle here is always worth a second look.
Absolutely. And that's what makes Saratoga so challenging, is they're coming from all over. And you've really got to, you know, in some cases, they're going to be live. People love to say, well, they're not shipping in there just for fun. Well, sometimes they are. You know, they're not running just for fun. I remember, excuse me, I got something in my throat that will not stop today. And water is not helping. Sometimes, I remember one time, I was jockey agent for Ron Hanson. Excuse me. And we were going up through San Francisco to Golden Gate to ride a horse for Laz Barrera. And Laz's son, Larry, was going up there with the horse. So we were flying up. I was flying up with Ron and Larry. Excuse me, Steve. And on the plane up there, Larry had the racing form open. And he's looking at the form, and the comment for his horse was, "Didn't ship for fun." And Larry looked at me and he said, "We'll show them."
That's great. That's a great line.
The horse didn't run together, but we had a great time.
That's funny.
Yeah. We'll show them.
I love it. That's really good.
You know, Steve, I'm sorry that this voice is like this. I'm really. I don't know what's going on, but it's not working.
No, that happens. That happens to me too.
So I want to touch on a few topics before we shut this down. I did want to mention, you and I did talk about it. I did want to mention John Toffin's passing.
Thank you. Okay.
Great California owner, partners with Trudy McCaffrey, many top horses in California. And of course, Trudy and I were involved in Kids to the Cup, and I got to know John also, and they were good friends of mine for a long time in California. Their trainer was Paco Gonzalez. Sal Gonzalez was his nephew, and I was his agent when he was an apprentice. So, you know, they were my friends, John and Trudy. Of course, I've been gone from California for a while, but when I heard that John passed, I was sad because, he was a lot of fun. I spent many afternoons sitting at the races in the box with John playing the races. He liked to play the races. He liked to own horses. And he'd come to the races every day back then. And I remember one time they had kind of arrived on the scene. No one knew who they were. They'd come down from Canada, and people said, you know, who are those people? Who are? And I'd say, yeah, well, it's John and Trudy. They'd say, well, how did he make his money? I said, well, he struck gold. And they said, yeah, but how did he make his money? I said, no, he struck gold.
That's how literally.
He literally struck gold. And one day early on when John and Trudy were in the box, I said to John, I said, John, can they catch you? He said, what do you mean? I said, a lot of guys, you know, they burst on the scene, they buy horses and they breed horses and they go hot for a while and then they run out of money. He said, no, they can't catch me. I said, okay. and they never did. So anyway, I wanted to mention that. I want to say happy birthday to Tina. I'm sorry she had to work today. It's just not right. You know, your birthday, you should be off from school. Also, when we have beautiful weather, when there's just a beautiful day in the spring or in the fall, they should close the schools and let everyone go home. Those are things I believe in. And if elected, I will see that happens. Also, I know I'm running off here, but that's okay. Also, first week of Fun in the Sun is in the books. The winner this week, Kenneth Miller, his total was $347. He gets $5,000 prize. Scott Houston finished second. He rallied in the last race. He had that winner, Patriot Drive, at like, I think, 5-1 in the last race at Saratoga. A $10 wager got him $63. You know what? He needed $64. He finished $1 behind Kenneth Miller in second place. $2,000 to him. Debbie Arrington, Jody Bertolo, Charles Jones all get $500 each. They were next in line with $317 in earnings. Fun in the Sun. Each week at ExpressBet.com, we're giving away $68,000 in prizes over 8 weeks this summer. Get a piece of that. And also, cumulative earnings. You want to get your earnings week by week to add up. The top four earners at the end of the season get spots in the Pegasus World Cup betting championship. And if you finish fifth, that's not too bad either. You get $4,000 for fifth. So go to expressbet.com for account holders only. Sign up and make a $10 live win wager on one horse in each of 10 races. We were all Saratoga. Saturday will be Saratoga and Del Mar this Saturday.
Excellent.
That's all I got.
No, that's great. full swing. And, of course, Ellison and Monmouth and lots to keep us involved. Arlington, we didn't get a chance to talk some of the other races around, and certainly the Million Preview. Obviously, you mentioned Chad Brown and his trio that ran 1-2-3 and another Diana, although I bet you Trevor McCarthy would like to have a second chance on Secret Message. So That's funny. Not only did Chad run the four horses, the one of the four managed to impede, to successfully back up right into the face of rallying Secret Message. So everybody did their job. Johnny, I appreciate it, and we'll talk the first full summer weekend next Monday.
Yes, and by the way, I will have a report from Del Mar for you.
Oh, great. You're going out? Awesome.
I will be, yeah. It's this year, it's not where the turf meets the surf. It's where the grandpa meets the granddaughter.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I'm going to meet my granddaughter for the first time.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, yeah. Can't wait. Can't wait to see pictures.
Looking forward to it.
Nice. Great job, Johnny. I love it. All right. I'll talk to you. We'll probably connect during the week then and remind everybody about Fun in the Sun and both venues fully cranked on Saturday. Johnny D, everybody. Let's take the bottom of the hour break. We'll come back. Jack Sisterson, Brett Calhoun, and Brad Cox over the next 45 minutes or so. Stay with us.